بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
صلى الله عليه وسلم
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقيت الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ajil
faraj. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is a privilege and honor to be here amongst my dear brothers and sisters in Calgary, and hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to fulfill our obligations towards Him and our responsibilities towards our communities, inshallah. One occasion that has just passed was the blessed and holy month of Ramadan. It was as though it was yesterday that we were hearing lectures, for those of us that were hearing lectures, about the beginning of the month of Ramadan, that the month is approaching and we are getting ready, we are preparing ourselves, this blessed month. There are du'as, we get together for iftar, we have programs. We try to make it different. And before we know it, it came to an end. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the opportunity of having another month of Ramadan in the following year. This month of Ramadan is a very, very special month in the year. Now that it's gone by, now they say we learn about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us many times after we've lost them. We understand the benefit of having good health when we get sick, when we're ill, when it's passed by. The month of Ramadan comes, at the beginning we're kind of trying to deal with the fast, the thirst, the hunger, especially up here, having very long days. Of course, alhamdulillah, you guys don't have the heat like in Texas, where they have to deal with that heat. But long days, long fast, trying to deal with that. And then gradually, we start to lose the fuel. And before we know it, we're waiting for the fight over when Eid is to come to a finish. And then we celebrate Eid. So before we know it, that blessing is taken away from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that next year, when He provides this very, very great opportunity to progress spiritually, to change ourselves, to revive that soul, that next year when that time comes around, we're able to benefit and see that blessing when it's here. In the month of Ramadan, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us yet another opportunity. In other words, this time is a very special time in the month of Ramadan. And in order to allow us to benefit from this very blessed time of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an obligation, the obligation of the fast. Every obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whether it's the fast, the prayer, hajj, khums, zakat, all of it is for our own good. There's none of it that's going to benefit anyone. It's not going to benefit God, it won't benefit the Ahlul Bayt, it won't benefit the Holy Prophet. In any way, only for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this fast there so that we benefit. We make sure we benefit from this time. Even if it's the most insignificant amount, at least something, get something out of it. He says that, I have given you this fast, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ in the Holy Qur'an, the verse that talks about fast. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ so that you may develop this taqwa in you. This is Thursday night. Thursday night, where we're going to be entering Thursday night in a few minutes, half an hour or so, Maghrib time onwards, is a very special night. Every week, an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us in order to do what, as according to the ahadith and the du'as that we have on this night, it's an opportunity for us to create change in ourselves. Tawbah. Repent. Seek forgiveness. Allahumma ghafir liya al-dhunuba allati tahtiku al-isam. Allahumma ghafir liya al-dhunuba allati tughayyiru al-ni'am. Wallah, this dua al-kumayn that we recite, I hope we give it a bit of heart through understanding. Understanding the words of Amirul Mu'mineen. These are not magic spells that you just read that Arabic and it has an effect on you. No, there's meaning that's hidden in that. The more you read it with that understanding, you allow it to seep into that heart, gradually you will learn things from it and it will become part of you. These are very, very beautiful lines in that dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives us of the different sins that have different effects. So it's an opportunity to repent, to change. We hear this, change. Changing our lives. There's a lot of things that we do wrong. Plenty of them. There's a lot of sins that we commit. There's a lot of things that we do, we don't even realize that they're wrong. There's many things that we do, we're told this is wrong, the other is wrong, we hear it goes in one ear, it goes out the other. When it comes to practice, being the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi is following the footsteps of Amirul Mu'mineen in practice. Okay. Not beating our chest on the 21st of Ramadan. Beating our chest is good. But if it leads to action, if it leads to practice, if it leads us to live our life the way he did, otherwise we'd be like someone that's in Kufa that's talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen but in practice going against him. It has to come to action. Things have to happen. We talk about change. We talk about tawbah, repentance. That tawbah that's referred to as tawbatun nasuh. We have a lot of ahadith on tawbah, repentance. Trying to change. Going, it says some of the ahadith, a couple of them. Some of them say, kafa bin nadmi tawbatan. You need to come to the point where we understand that something is wrong. We realize that what we've done is wrong. And we regret that. If that feeling of regret comes into our heart, according to the hadith, that's a tawbah. Okay. According to hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the youth that are maftoon, they're constantly tested, and they constantly fail, but constantly come back and repent. They come back and ask for forgiveness. I want to change. It's difficult. What I've done is wrong. I recognize that. I want to change. It's difficult. Allah says, I like that. Come back. Okay. Even if you've gone, you've broken your tawbah thousands of times, I like it when you come back again. When you do it another time. Okay. It doesn't encourage us to sin. Like another hadith, brothers were asking. There's another hadith that says, if you wouldn't sin, which all of us, at some level, have some practical issues, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, that He helps us remove these flaws from our souls. He says that if you wouldn't commit sins and come back and ask me for forgiveness, I would create people that would sin and then come and ask me for forgiveness. That's how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive, and He's all forgiving. So we have these ahadith, but then there's something called Tawbatun Nasuh. Tawbatun Nasuh, the Ahlul Bayt, because it's a verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tubu ila Allah Tawbatan Nasuha. The Imam is asked, what is Tawbatun Nasuh? Imam responds, it is a tawbah that you don't return to the same sin again. Right? That's the most perfect form of repentance. Where I've done wrong, I regret, I ask for forgiveness, but on top of all of that, I'm able to change myself. So we hear all of this. We hear fasting is good. We hear interest is haram. We hear this other activity is haram. Looking at this scene is haram. Shaking hands with the there's all these different things we hear, these things are wrong. Certain actions are wajib. We have responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens is, I'm not motivated. I don't feel like doing it. I've heard it a million times. Yeah, I know. It's prayer time. Here we go again. The talk. Dad. Or mom. I need to pray. Fasting. Hijab. Not having interaction with the opposite gender. Not having boyfriends, girlfriends for the opposite gender. We've heard that, but what gives us, I don't feel like I need to do any of this. I don't feel like I want to leave what I'm enjoying to engage in this. I don't even feel like I would want to go and learn more to be able to practice more. This element of motivation is extremely important. It is key. Otherwise you can have all the knowledge of the world. Yeah, this has the other effect and so on and so forth. But you sit in your home and do something that's completely different. What gives me the motivation? What gives me the fuel to move on? They say this fact, God has wanted us to do this. God has asked us to do that. God has this obligation on us. God has forbidden this. Okay, I've heard all of that. But why should I listen to it? Why should I put that into practice? What's going to give me that motivation? We have many ahadith that try to help us with that, the understanding of it. And some instructions about how that is going to happen. What causes me to avoid sin when it's around? What causes me to get involved with an obligation where I have plenty of other things that are very, very enjoyable? At different ages, we have different things that we enjoy. When we're younger, maybe it's the Xbox, that we're busy with playing the game, and prayer comes in, prayer time, and parents are like, you know, if parents tell us that you need to pray, and we don't feel like we want to leave that. Or it's a game we're watching on TV, or it's a game we're playing it with our friends. When we grow a little older, maybe it's our studies if we're really into that. Or maybe it's work, or other activities that we get involved with. To leave that, and to come and get involved with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. The motivating factor is extremely important. Now very briefly I'd like to touch on this. There are a few problems in the way we think, the way we perceive things, the way we look at the world around us, the way we understand everything around us that causes this problem. It's a very deep-rooted problem. What is it that when the imams, because we have to look at the Ahlul Bayt, the imams, as role models, not as people you worship, okay? There's a difference. We look at the Ahlul Bayt, we can come here and say, fiery talk, Amir al-Mu'mineen was the one who raised the door of Khaybah with single-handedly, where everybody else was running away. Well, great. But what's there for me to learn from that? If I am the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm the follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen, how do I look at that and learn something that I can implement here, myself? They are role models, not just people to come and praise. Praise is good, so that we have that love, that's another motivating factor. But what's there, I need to learn from that. Why is it? And the reason why I say that is, when we look at the practice, the conduct of the Ahlul Bayt, we got to look at that and say, I want to be like that. I remember one of the ulama, his student came up to him and said, teacher, I really want to become like you. He said, you're not going to get anywhere. He said, why? He said, I planned to be Imam al-Sadiq and I became this. If you're planning to become like me, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to look at the Ahlul Bayt and try to become like them. Why is it that when the Ahlul Bayt were put into prison, like, thank you God for allowing me an opportunity to worship you. Otherwise, if I'm outside, I'm so busy with other things, I don't get enough time that I would want to spend in sujood, in prostration, in dua, in supplication. But if I, even they scare me about being put in prison, or forget about that, I don't know what you guys have over here in Canada, I'm a visitor, but in my country, in the United States, if they scare you about, you know, you may be deported from that country, forget about prison, right? Then the Ahlul Bayt are like this. Oh, why? I need to be forced, prayer, and then when I go for prayer, not even mumble. It's mumbo jumbo. It's not Suratul Hamd. It's not Suratul Tawheed. I'm not speaking to God. If I want to speak to a kid, I make my words heard and understood, and I think about what I want to say. And if we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't understand a word we're saying. Okay. What is this? What caused that motivation? What makes that difference? The way they look at the world, the way we look at the world, it's very different. First motivating factor. We have certain desires that we enjoy fulfilling those desires. Certain things taste really good. Okay, you like to have them. Alhamdulillah, we're not fasting right now. Sometime before Maghrib time, we'll be discussing this issue and other issues, and then mentioning food and spices and biryani and other foods, and you know, well, there's certain foods, certain tastes, certain, we enjoy them. Fulfilling these desires, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, the verse of the Holy Quran. The people enjoy certain things. You see the glamour of the world, a nice Mercedes passes by, you see that, the sparkle on that car, the new model that's out, whatever they are, whatever number they are, you see that from a distance and like, oh my God, I wish I had that. Okay. You see those houses when you drive by, newly built, the mansions, and then you see a tour of it, or you visit a brother, a sister, a colleague, somebody, you see that house the way it is, it just attracts you. You want to have that. You go to the department stores, whatever you guys have, you have Walmart out here, I've seen it. So you go into that store, you have 5 or 6 items on the list, you go in there with 20 items, you come back out, okay, because you see it and you want it and you get it and you come out. Okay. We enjoy these things and we like to have them and we are busy with this. The dunya, this lowest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a transit period for us, just for the purpose of being tested, so that we are moved to our actual destination and place that we are going to be living for eternity, we get attached to it. We look at this as this is it. Although we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in the hereafter. In words, we say that. But deep down in the heart, well, it is, this is it. You know, let me enjoy myself here. This is what I like to enjoy. This is what I like to have. Yeah, I've heard that thing is a sin, but it's okay. God is all forgiving, you know. A thousand and one excuses. Somehow get around it and get it. Because what? What do you... Mercedes. Okay, how many? Five. All right. Is that it? You want 10? You want 20 of them? You want a jet? You want all the jets in the world? For how long? You want the whole earth? Take all of it. All the gold mines, all the water, all everything. For how long? When you're able to actually get it, you go through that all that hard work to get it, all those lies and dirty business to try to get it. Okay, then you get it. Okay, what are you going to do with it? How long? How much? By the time you get it, you're going to have to worry about cholesterol. You have to worry about how much you eat. You have to worry about, you know, you like to be youth again, get those joints running again so you can do something. You can't. You go play that game and out of breath and no time. Okay, and you can break those joints very easily. It's going to happen to all of us. Don't think that old folks or some other people. No, it's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to everybody. Time flies, especially for the youth and the kids. I mean, I remember those days where we used to say, oh, you know, that guy's 20. Like, wow, you know, I'm 15. When am I going to be 20? Before you know it, you know, you're like, oh my God, I'm 30. Oh my God, I'm 40. I'm getting old here. It flies. For how long? First thing, so, in that motivation, the Ahlul Bayt have taught us, remember death. Remember, this life is temporary. If you engage in your life and try to accomplish something, be a big shot here in this world, if the cost of that is, because the biggest shots even in this world are the Ahlul Bayt, where it's been 1400 years since the time of the Holy Prophet and those battles, and still we're talking about the Battle of Khaybar. Who is admired? How long will Steve Jobs be admired for? How long? What is he going to be admired for? What's Bill Gates going to be admired for? How long? Okay. 1400 years. Real guys. Real people. Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. Lived for 18 years. Okay, 18 years. And she's remembered up to today for things that no one else has accomplished. Okay. Even in this dunya, you want to be a real big shot. You want to do something that's long-lasting. Make the right choices. So first point, remembrance of death. Don't get attached to all of this. All this is going to go. Even if we have it all the way to the last moment we leave this world, that's going to make things more and more difficult. It's an interesting story. They say this man, religious man, the time of death was approaching. He's lying in his deathbed. One of the recommendations that we have for people lying in the deathbed is to do talqeen. There's a good reason. If you're there, don't say, oh, this is not the time or whatever. You know, try to soothe the heart of the relatives that are there. Let's be serious. At least at that time, do talqeen. Remind them. Your Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your Prophet is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Talib salamullah alayhi. And all of the imam, do make that. Keep telling them to. So this brother, this very good believer, moments of death are approaching. He's lying in his deathbed. Relatives, brothers, sisters are there. They keep telling him, say, Allah is my Lord. They say, he sees, he's looking at the corner of the room, and he's not saying it. This man who used to constantly pray, every prayer, adhan, iqamah, in the tashahud, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He's not saying it. Say ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Not saying it. Alhamdulillah, God didn't take his life at that moment. So they asked him, what was going on? We kept saying, kept asking you, you were conscious, we could speak to you, you would respond, why weren't you saying that? He said, Shaitan was in that corner. He was holding this little watch that my father or someone had given, and I really, really liked. And he said, if you say that, I'm going to break it. Okay. How important is a watch? When that heart gets attached to something even that small, then some very wrong things can happen. Shaitan's waiting for that moment. The remembrance of death is very, very important. To get us so that we don't put all of our energy for this world. Don't put all your energy in this world. Even the work that you do, after making sure it is halal, and it's in the right direction, even then, don't think about this dunya. Think about how this is going to affect the hereafter. That work to provide a good house, a good car, good food, halal car, halal house, for the family is jihad fi sabilillah, if done with the right intention. It is something that can help for the hereafter, if done in the right way. So that's number one. Secondly, another motivating factor is that Amir al-Mu'mineen's hadith that we have. After realizing that this world is going to be temporary and there is something afterwards, death is not the end of it. Then comes the next. Alright, if it's not the end, then what is it going to be like? Amir al-Mu'mineen says there are three types of worshippers. One are the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of their fear of God's punishment. Okay, that's one motivating factor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Dua al-Kumail, وَأَخَافَكَ مَخَافَةَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. Sometimes people put down this fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an extremely important factor. We need to have that fear in Allah. We gotta develop that in our hearts. Amir al-Mu'mineen Dua al-Kumail, first of all, the whole dua is just something that's very clear there, is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging for mercy, begging for repentance, begging God to forgive, begging God not to burn him in hellfire. Layta sha'ri, the dua says, where he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says that, are you going to have this face that has gone into prostration to you burn in hellfire? At the end he says, hayhat, I don't think that's how you're going to treat me. I don't feel like that. But it's out of fear. It is possible. I may be punished. I feel it. And reading the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't know, we miss some of these. Or if Ali ibn Abi Talib, which is definitely not a second of his life, questioned God, questioned his responsibility towards God, done anything that is wrong, every single word that he has said, Every single look that he has made, every single eye contact, every single touch, every single food that he has put into that mouth of his has been a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During his time of Khilafah, when he went to the homes of the widows that needed help anonymously, turning on that oven, putting wood in it and lighting it up. When it got really hot, he put his face over that fire. Ali, feel the heat and fear the heat of the Day of Judgment. We don't have that fear. We're told, the Ahlul Bayt tell us, when you read the verses of the Holy Qur'an, which I hope for myself and for the brothers and sisters, the Holy Qur'an is not a book for recitation in the month of Ramadan. And it's not a book that we just have a tape recorder on reciting it and we just hear it. That's good too. I'm not saying to stop that. But that's not enough. You need to pick it up, read it. Recite that book. Read the translation. Reflect upon it. Amir al-Mu'min salamullah alayhi says, لا خير في قراءة ليس فيها تدبر. There's no good comparatively, because we have other hadith that says even looking at the Quran is beneficial. But this one says, compared to recitation with contemplation, there is almost as if there's no good at all in recitation where there's no contemplation. We're told the contemplation, part of the reflection that we need to make, is that when you come to the verses of Adab, when you come to those verses that describe the punishment hereafter, spend some time thinking about that. And thinking about yourself being in that situation. Ourselves feeling that punishment. Talking about that shajaratu zaqum, the tree that grows these fruits, that the verses say, when the people in hellfire get hungry, the only thing they can eat, and they do eat, and they keep, they overindulge on this type of fruit, is called zaqum. And what it does is when you swallow that, it becomes like molten metal in the stomach. You know, when you have something that's solid, like metal, if you heat it up, gradually, if you have it at the right temperature, it starts to become molten, okay? It starts to enter the liquid form, instead of it being solid, alright? That's extremely hot. Now, when it's in almost liquid form, or kind of liquid as well, there's degrees. If you can get that molten metal to start to come to a boil, the way boiling water is, that's how liquid it becomes, that's extremely hot. The verses of the Holy Qur'an say in Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they eat that zaqum, it goes into the stomach, and it's like molten metal, and that molten metal being like boiling water, كَغَلْيِ الْحَمِيمِ. Read that and think for a second if you can have a touch of that on anywhere of our bodies. That's one motivating factor, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Realizing the hereafter being a reality, and those punishments being realities, and reminding ourselves. Second factor, what time is Maghrib time here?
9:54.
Okay, so we have a couple more minutes, inshallah. Recite a salawat. The second motivating factor about the hereafter is understanding the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. Looking at the verses of the Holy Quran, can hadith says to reflect upon these verses as well, where they are describing the blessings in the hereafter. Alright, if you enjoy things here, You like these different fruits? You like these different foods? Some of them are even forbidden. You like gold? You like to wear gold? For guys, which is haram in this world, you're going to be given that in the hereafter. You like all these jewels? You like the biggest mansion? You like to go on vacation where the rich people go? With everything that they have there? Access to loads of things that are haram in this world? It's all over there. All of it. You like those streams? The best streams are over there. Streams of milk, streams of honey, streams of fresh water that never get hot or warm. It's like an everlasting vacation. With everything. You know, sometimes you see these pictures that are showing you what that vacation is going to look like. Now, when they're showing you a picture of a beach, there's certain figures standing there that I cannot describe. Okay. And you're not allowed to look. Okay. But the verses of the Holy Quran say even that is there waiting for you in paradise. Okay. That full picture is there. If you enjoy these blessings here, right, just listen to this. You're going to get it eternally. In this world, as I said, when you start getting it, you want to enjoy it, there's only so much you can eat. Whatever sweets you like, there's only so much you can eat. Afterwards, you're going to get heartburn, you're going to get a fat belly. You don't like to be like that. Okay? They have side effects that we don't like. We like to have the good taste, but we don't like to have the side effects. Well, in the hereafter, you have all those good effects. They're enjoyable, there's no side effects. That's another factor that is important for us to try to look into and try to develop that. There's one last factor that I'll just introduce for you guys to read up on. Maybe if we get a chance, we can discuss some other time as well. And that is where Amir al-Mu'min sallallahu alayhi says in that hadith, says the third category, which there are not many people that are like this, but it's good to want to be one of these. It's good to at least know that there are people that are like this and motivate us to try to move in that direction. Because that's what happens when we know, when we're told about people having certain things, even if we don't have it right now, we look at that and we'd like to bring that to ourselves. In this world, that's how it is. You hear about this person achieving or accomplishing a certain standard for themselves, they have a certain house or whatever, you hear about that, that's just encouraging for you to move in that direction. When you meet a person that has those types of things, so hearing about this will allow us, maybe we won't arrive at that completely, but at least we know that there's something else out there as well. And it's very profound, very profound, very difficult. Amir al-Mu'min says there's the third category of people that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love for Him. Okay. Now I'm sure almost all of you have heard this hadith before. I remember visiting a community and they were telling me that we don't like to tell our children and our youth to worship out of God's fear. We like to tell them to worship because you love God. Okay. Well, first of all, as I said, that fear factor is actually important. If it wasn't for fear, we would not act human. Most of us. There are very, very, very few people that even if you remove all of that fear factor, whatever you do will take you to paradise anyway. Okay? Only a very, very, very few people are going to end up doing what's right. Same way that if you remove some of these obstacles in this world, in the legal systems that we have, then you'd be, or we would be, I would be going crazy here. Okay? There would be no one that could stop me from going 220 miles per hour if the car would take that. Whatever, I'd step on it. I wouldn't stick to 100 kilometers per hour, 110, 120. And it'll be chaos. Like in some countries in the Middle East. It's chaos on the street. Because they're not afraid. Those cops come around, you can actually curse them out and nothing happens to you. Okay. So if the fear factor is not there, most of us are not going to be at different degrees. Some people are going to go wild and crazy. Some people don't even respect it, even when there is that fear factor, for some reason they can't. But most of us wouldn't. But on top of that, when you talk about God's love, what is God's love? There's one thing we read in Dua al-Kumayn. When Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi says, he says, صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك. I am able, with all the descriptions of عذاب and punishment that we have in the Holy Quran, which is not even a real description of that عذاب, because it's in a different world and we can't really understand how it is. He says, I can take all of that, but I can't take being away from you. We hear that, we read that. I don't know about you guys, maybe some of you guys have reached that level, but I'm speaking for myself. What feel of love and separation? That sounds like someone that really likes to be by this other person. They cannot take being away from this person for even a couple of minutes. How do I feel like that towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What type of a feeling is this? Who is God in the first place for me to have that type of a feeling towards Him? How much do we know God? What do we understand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's something called love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which if that spark comes into one's heart, a touch of that love, then it's going to ignite the soul. And that's something that cannot be stopped. Read upon it, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have in Dua al-Kumayl, which we listened to before this, وَقَلْبِي بِحُبِّكَ مُتَيَّمًا. We want that love to come into our hearts. Read upon it and reflect upon it. Inshallah, maybe if we get some time, we'll at least verbally talk about it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, that He allows us, helps us develop into true soldiers and companions and followers of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all of those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Him to forgive them all of their sins, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all the believers their hajat, their needs, material and spiritual alike, and to relieve all of them from difficulties, hardships, illnesses. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppression that they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu wa qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.